Well, we're certainly glad you're here, and we hope you recognize and understand and believe the fact that God loves you because he does, and we're glad you're part of the morning program. This is the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and I'm Mark Burns, and I'm the general manager of Great News Radio, and my co-host here, Pastor Jason Schiffo, the senior pastor at the Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois.
Yes.
And he's been co-hosting. I never wrote down any dates, but 2 or 3 months at least now, I think.
Yeah, we've been dating a while. I need to meet your parents.
Yes. Well, I have a special, special thing for you. But before I share that with everyone, I want to point out a few things. If you had the opportunity to tune in to the Monday edition of Mark and Friends and you heard Wade Watson, then I know you tuned in Tuesday to hear part two. But if you missed those broadcasts, trust me, you'll be really blessed and encouraged. I think Wayne just did a fantastic job of sharing his life story and some of the things that he's been struggling with, and yet the ways he's seen God at work in his life. And he's actually bursting to share some new things, and he'll have a new album coming out in the coming months. We'll see when that all comes together. But tune in through our website, greatnewsradio.org, and listen on the archive programs link, and I think you'll be blessed. And we've also had Twyla Paris about a week and a half ago, and we had Michael Card last week, and this coming Monday and Tuesday I'll have Steve Green. So if you haven't purchased your tickets yet for the community appreciation event, they're going fast. I know we're under 300 tickets that are still available, so we'll have that Virginia Theater filled out. But you can purchase tickets and call right away, 217-356-9063. I think their box office is only open basically probably like a 9 to 5. So if you're hearing the re-airing of this, you'll probably have to call in the morning. But you can order online at thevirginia.org, thevirginia.org. And it's general seating tickets. They're $11, and I think they charge a dollar fee for the restoration of the Virginia Theater. Well worth it. And the doors open at 6 p.m. on that Thursday night, March 29th. And the singing men will take the stage at 6:15. And we have a number of selections. We have one more rehearsal this past Monday. We were really pumped because we have some special things that we're going to be doing for everyone. So we invite you to come out and hear the singing men of GNN, followed by Steve Green, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson, and Michael Card. And that's Thursday night, March 29th. Okay, I'm going to ask you, pull that chair over. Yeah. Jason has no clue. This took me a long time, and I'll explain it after I have you listen to this, but I think this will minister to you, and I want you to just sit down, have your headphones on, and then after you hear what I'm about to share.
Is this like that show where it would be like, who's this person, you know, and like you're going to bring out my gym teacher from grade school?
Something. Well, you're going to be impressed that I pulled this off, I think. Hopefully this will be a good thing. Hopefully this will be a blessing, and maybe you can even pull your microphone down. But I want you to initially just maybe close your eyes and listen to this, and you're going to catch it right away, and then you can share why you think I might have pulled this off. So
okay.
Listen up.
You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hope.
So are you kind of familiar with that song?
I do know that song well.
I was hoping I was going to get a tear or something out of you. I was hoping that would really choke you up.
It does evoke something inside of me. Because I did that. I'm sure that's what you want to talk about.
Well, and I know God's been using that song as you've played it a number of times with your guitar and as you've pondered it and allowed those words, what God wants to do in the city, mm-hmm. what God wants to do through your church, through the community, through your family, yeah. and how God wants all of us to participate in his kingdom work.
I listen to that song every Sunday morning in very different forms. I have one that's acoustic one. I have one that's in concert. I have some different versions of it that I've gotten. I don't know. People give them to me or however I get them. But I listen to that every Sunday morning before I go and preach because I just love the words. And I love that, you know, that he keeps saying greater things are still to be done in this city. And that you're the God of this city, that God has claimed this city. This isn't my city. This isn't our city. This is God's city. It's here. You know, these city limits have been set because God put them there. And then God filled it full of people who are going to do amazing things. And God is going, there's still more things to be done. And some of us have settled into mediocrity. And, you know, we mow our lawn and we trim our trees and we don't talk to our neighbors and we don't do anything. And God's going, wait a second, there are greater things still to be done here. So it's always just a reminder to me before I go out on Sunday morning to it just centers me. So this last Sunday I used it in the service. When I was preaching, I closed out with it because it pertained to the message that I was giving.
And when you say you closed out, you didn't just play it. You didn't just play it on a CD. You sang it and played it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I played it on the guitar. Because I've played it many times because, you know, that for me, that's part of, and I play guitar when I was younger. I was in a band and did a bunch of different stuff musically. But for me, that was a part of the intimacy of that song. It's almost like listening to it, we're dating, and learning to play it on the guitar and singing it and letting it ruminate inside of me creatively is kind of almost like we were married then. Mm-hmm. And so there's an intimacy to that song. So when I play it, I don't just play it. You know, it was really funny because after the service, Tasha goes, wow, that was really good. You know, normally she's pretty critical of me with the guitar because she goes, you can play the guitar okay, but just maybe don't sing sometimes. You know, because that's not my strong suit. But she goes, you know, she goes, wow, that's great. You just should have sang a little louder. She goes, you should have belted it out because she said, that song and you, there's just, and I said, it's so hard for me to do that because it's almost like a prayer when I'm singing it. So it goes low because it's like this prayer inside of me, like, God, you just wanted greater things and there's no one like you. I mean, I love that line. There is no one like you, no one like our God. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, there's nobody in my relational sphere who's like God, who cares for me, who loves me, who leads me, who speaks to me the way he does. So I just love it.
Believe it or not, it took me about 2 or 3 hours to find that. I had written down Paul Tomlin, and I didn't know how to even spell the Tomlin, and I kept doing searches all over Christian artists, and I had it written down as In the City, but it's called God of the City.
If you were a little less sneaky, I have 10 versions I would have given you. I would have been like, hey, no problem, here you go. Any chance to hear it again? That I love the song, I really do.
Well, I searched and searched, but you know, with Google, if you get close, and then I just said Christian artists that begin with the name Paul, because I was convinced it was Paul, and I couldn't find it, and then I was misspelling Tomlin, maybe there's another way, and finally I got some kind of link, and I went under music, and I searched under eyes for In the City, or I searched a Google search on In the City, and, you know, I get Sex in the City and all these other shows. I'm like, no, that's not what I want. I want, anyways, I finally came across it, burned it right before you got in here this morning, and I knew that there was a great message there, because God wants us all active in the city and active in relationships and you know, pressing his kingdom influence, power, and authority in all of our realms. And God does care about the city, and he cares about the individual. And it's a really good song. And so, anyways, oh, well, I thought I could get a tear or two out of you. But
it was inside. Yes. You did get it.
You're just so steeped in your man points that I got to help. We don't want to open up that can. But
do you want to go there?
No.
Well, I mean, I would like to expound maybe a little bit more on kind of where that song came from in terms of what we talked about on Sunday. But first, though, I would like just a word from our new sponsor.
It only comes twice a year, the Pier 1 sale. It's big. It's now. It's store-wide. It's just what you're looking for. The Pier 1 sale. It's huge. Bring a trunk.
You know, I'm going to have to...
And speaking of that, at the end, she said, bring a trunk. And what did my wandering eyes but see but a trunk behind your couch up there? A nice new wicker one. Did that come from Pier 1?
Nope. That was one of those cheap ones, half off, and I got it at that...
Look, I'm not worried about how much it costs. I want to know where it came from.
Yes,
if you didn't buy it at Sears, we need to talk.
Yeah, no, it was definitely another shopping outing for me. I had Beamer along, and we loaded up the car. In fact, there's another chair, and I got this other bench that I'm going to have to build. And, yeah, he's having a field day. But, yep, that's I knew something was going to be coming. You had kind of forewarned me. But I might have to have that phone off limits to the studio. You keep finding it.
Actually, I'm going to be honest with you. I went to Pier 1 the other day because I needed to go to Staples to pick up some copy paper for the church, and I went into Pier 1. Unfortunately, they don't remember you, because I was going to try and do a little interview. Maybe I could find the girl who helped you.
Well,
and
see, that's a good thing, because I'm such a stranger there, but... I did get my triple points, though, everyone. So.
That worries me greatly.
Yes. So, speaking of Pier 1, and I finally, with Kathleen Jennings, she went with me there the other day and we searched around, and I finally got out of the habit of calling it Pier 14. I mean, that's how familiar I am with Pier 1, but I finally got that down pat. But that reminds me of an announcement I want to make this morning, and we'll see if this works, because usually my announcements build a lot of momentum and excitement and response. And when we did our high bidder, we only really had about a half a dozen calls or less. And we did end up, for those of you with inquiring minds, we did get a high bid of $600.
Wow.
So he'll be eating with Steve Green, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson, Michael Card, yours truly, and then getting the VIP treatment, a couple special tickets and so forth. So, but I thought dozens of people would call in, the bid would keep growing, and people would get excited and call in just to find out what the bid was, and not at all, not one. Like, that called to want to know about the bid. Well, so I'm going to test this
one
out.
But you did get a call about the puppies, right?
Yeah, we did. We had somebody say, hey, I heard something about puppies. But this, we'll see if this flies. But I'm looking for maybe four families or a church or an individual, however it works. But as you know, we're bringing the town Steve Green, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson, and Michael Card. And I would love to present them with individual gift baskets and leaving it up to the listener to figure out what they would want to put in it. And I might include something from the radio station or a book or resource or something. But somebody that would say, I want to do Twyla Paris, and maybe give her some fun, whatever things that you would want to give to a woman. And I don't know, you know, use some creative capacities to put together a really nice gift basket. If you do that, then we would have you a part of the meet and greet, and you could present it to them. And we'll cover your ticket to enjoy the concert that evening. Mm-hmm. So you'll get a free ticket. You'll get to meet and greet the artists. And so maybe you and a friend or a couple friends, and you want to give them something with Illinois on it, maybe the University of Illinois, something so they can remember their time here, maybe some souvenir or artifacts, and, you know, some fun things, maybe some fruit and snacks and whatever. You're creative. Whatever you could put together that would represent the station and our area and that would bless them. So if that's of interest to you, I would love to have four different people or groups of people that say, hey, I'll go in on Steve Green's basket or Wayne Watson or Michael Card or Twyla Paris. So if you're willing to do something like that or to spearhead it up to where you'll be in charge and you'll recruit four friends to all buy something, let's talk and call the station 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. But we need four different people or entities or groups to do this, because I don't want to just have two baskets for two of them. And it's a way to save the radio station from going out and having to purchase all these things and put it together, because there's really only a few of us and we're very busy. So if you would catch the vision and want to do that and want to bless the artist, part of our goal is to really bless them coming to our area, this would be a unique way. So call the station, 217-367-7777, and we can work it from there. All right, back to the city. I know that paid sponsorship is now that you got me with the Pier 1. Anyways, okay. Let's set our eyes on the lover of the city, the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal God and his word.
Good transition.
Yeah, choppy. Choppy at best.
Well, I just, you know, that song comes for me out of, on Sunday morning, we're still in the book of Philippians, we're still working through there, we're about halfway through now, so if you're not doing anything Sunday morning, and you just want to hear about what Paul's talking about, and what Paul's doing in this letter to Philippians, I would encourage you to come and just share some time with us on Sunday morning. We'd love for your family to join our family in a time of worship, and a time of just hearing God's word, and wrestling what it means to be the people of God, following God. But in chapter 2 and verse 17, Paul says, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your coming faith. First of all, that even if in the beginning, that's not like the if for us in our culture, we think that there's like, is it or isn't it? That's not true. That's called a present participle. That means the even if means since then. So it's Paul saying, I am right now in this very moment being poured out like a drink offering. And Paul's talking about pouring his life out. You know, I think on Sunday morning I talked about some of us live a life that's poured out and some of us live a life that's spilled out. You know, is your life controlled and is it reaping these great benefits and doing great work for the Lord? Or are you just spilling your life out messily everywhere you go? It's just very erratic.
And I think about, are you intentional with your life?
Right.
Because if it's being poured out, it's being kind of intentional on where it wants to be poured out, where you're going to spend your time, your energy, your effort, your resources. But the spill out, you're wasting your time, you're squandering your time, you're squandering the gift that God has given you, the life breath to advance his kingdom purposes this very day.
Right. And Paul here uses this thing. He says, even if I'm poured out like a drink offering. Now, first, I want to make a corrective for some people. I've heard a lot of times they say that this means that Paul's going to die soon. He knows his death is imminent. Yet earlier in chapter 1, he says, but I remain. And then he also says, if I die, I'm going to go be with Jesus. If I don't die, I'm going to stay here and live in the body. So right before in chapter 1, Paul says, I don't know where this thing's going. I'm not sure where it's headed, but I'm going to continue to do the work I'm called to do. So for Paul suddenly in chapter 2 to make a transition to go like, whoa, my life is being poured out, I'm almost done, would be a misnomer. It's not true because it doesn't support contextually what happens earlier. But he talks about being poured out like a drink offering. And if we were to go back to Numbers 15 and we were to look at the Old Testament sacrificial system, the drink offering's interesting. There's not a lot of description about it. In fact, the Bible doesn't, it just says it's being done or to do it. It doesn't say how to do it. There's no ordinance for it or anything. In Numbers 15, it says, you know, if you're going to take a bowl, take the bowl, throw them on the altar, you know, get some grain, pour the oil on top, and pour the drink offering on last. The drink offering is the capper. It's the last offering. It's the lesser offering. The first thing that you brought would be the main offering, which is the bowl. Those of you who have raised a bowl, I don't know how many of our listeners raised a bowl, but the bowl would take a lot of work and it would cost a lot of money. So then we present the bowl, obviously our greatest economic investment and personal investment. The second greatest thing would be the grain. Well, those of us who are in agriculture know that we have to water it, we have to tend to it, we have to love it, we have to care for it, and it grows and we take it to the threshing floor and we divide it. Again, a lot of investment. The oil would have been an economic investment. We would have had to buy it. Somebody else would have probably pressed it, but we would have bought it, somebody in our community. The last thing, which would be this drink offering, this, and it wasn't drink like what we think, wine. It was probably like a more of a fermented juice. So this juice would have been something that they would have had around a lot. So it wasn't as big of a deal. What Paul's saying here, based on the Old Testament sacrificial system, is Paul's saying, look it. I'm not the thing. And we can see if we look earlier, Paul talks about humility, humility, humility in chapter 1 and in chapter 2. He's either alluding to it or making direct correlation to his humility and Christ's humility. Paul's saying, look, I'm not the main thing here. I'm just the drink offering. I'm the capping off, the last little thing that comes at the end. I'm the thing that gets poured on the fire and a pleasing aroma goes up in the air. I think I told the people on Sunday morning, and I mean it. I'm me, the pastor. I'm just the drink offering. I'm like Paul here. Paul says, I'm the lesser offering. You know the real offering is? The church. The church is the real offering. Me? I'm just a drink offering. I get up on Sunday morning, a pleasing aroma. You come and you hear me preach, and we go through God's word together. But I'm just the drink offering. Those people who sit in those seats who are going to go out into the mission field, who are going to change this city, who are going to do the greater things that are still yet to be done in this city, those people are the true offering. I'm just being poured out. And that's what Paul is saying here. Now, some people would say, well, boy, Paul, you're really full of yourself to use yourself as an example to say, oh, man, you know, I'm the drink offering. Look at me. Well, I want you to remember one thing here. Paul is writing under the illumination of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is penning and guiding these words. The Holy Spirit knows Paul's heart. So Paul was writing this out of a heart that was truly humble, not a heart that was full of himself going, look at me, I'm pouring out, I'm great. No, the Holy Spirit's going, you truly are humble, and I'm going to use your story of humility. I'm going to use your story to show these people what looks like to be less. And it's amazing that God does that too. If we look in Philippians, it says here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, who being the very nature of God didn't consider equality of God something to be grasped. So God, who is the greatest, makes himself a little less so he can come down here and walk among us and touch us in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ goes and endures and goes to the cross and makes himself a little less so that we might know freedom. Paul, who has been lifted up by Christ by the Damascus Road, the thing that happened on the Damascus Road, he says here, no, I'm less. It's you guys. And then the Philippian church who goes, oh, wait, but we're the church. They go, no, we're less. It says in Corinthians that they gave out of their poverty. It just goes down the line. How have you been exalted by God? And then how can you become that drink offering so that you can pour yourself out? Because as you pour yourself out, you will do greater things in your family. You will do greater things in the city. You will do greater things in your community. You'll do greater things in your church. You'll do greater things in yourself that you never even saw possible.
Thank you, Lord. Help us be intentional today. Help us be that poured out offering to bless others and not allow us to spill ourselves out. We got to go. SRN News is up next. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.